It's extremely theological tonight, and the line of revival and the fire of God to come over on our real so happy for us, and we pray that His blessing is with us all tonight. Now, the ministry that the Lord has given to me has tried hard to wonder why that it didn't take in America. And why the people doesn't rest the fact that they shouldn't. And it is because, of course, of the conditions and the surroundings and the teachings and so forth of the different denominational churches, some so firmly against it and others affected by it, and when the people come, they don't know what to do. And I was just speaking this morning at one of the most lovely little ministerial breakfasts that I ever attended. Was in your lovely city of mine. And I understand the man who owns the place is Christian. And wouldn't know this for a while, but it's little ladies and all of her master. And he, of course, he preaching just about 2.5 hours. But there's such a fellowship. I just the control of appreciating a fellowship like that. And we had a wonderful time. And then, coming home, I was wondering why did the American people, and they didn't grasp it real quick like usually overseas, and meeting after meeting until there's a motion, but just not in a massive cause. For instance, in South Africa, where I see them bring a man to the platform, which they led him to a chain on the dog. And after the Lord had been loaded with me, and I could not see, but I could see them, and I was telling what made me better to them. And so then I thought, why is it that I can't understand it, but in a little while, the Lord will heal this fall. And then when healing this fall, giving not only healing him physically, but mentally. And his right mind came back to him. And when the audience seen that, I made one congregational prayer, and 25,000 got healed at one time. They gave him 7 bandloads of crutches, chairs, sticks, and so forth, and so forth. 25,000 people estimated by a mouse and evangelistic mouse, who's the old Dr. Bob, who made the estimation when he came together. How we were healed at one time. By one prayer. Oh, how I wish that had happened in America. But I'm wondering if it isn't that too much of we're so highly educated. I'm still probably not trying to down education now. But we get so educated until we educate ourselves out of the Bible. And we seem to walk in our own life with a government who's built it up. And in doing that, then we fail to find the simplicity of faith and it's gone by. And so I have to say that if tomorrow night with the Lord is willing, I know Leo and Gina, I don't think you ever had to rise, and you haven't meeting with the different eyes of the prayer card, and Billy was telling me, Billy Jr., that people were saying, I have believed that I haven't been prayed for. Now, you are prayed for it in tonight. Every night you're prayed for. And the night is long. And I have found out you, and while you're just yet harmful, that if we call it down and down, if you say that you're over the head, harmful, some ministers over the day, the last is only out of the way, I said, I'll pray for something to do. So, that is a legal Kentucky and slogan. The light is on the outside of the door. So I was amazed to hear that. Well, it is. But you find it everywhere. But I was thinking that what has happened, and I wish you to pray for me in this respect. I feel that while I'm in America, in the United States, or that I just had to meet right there, and I have been across the nation back and forth every way, 10 years under federal citizenship as a standard, building new songs, the call of God, and it will. When I see you at the judgment seat of Christ, there will be the same testimony and going on. The Holy Spirit gift that has been given to us has stood the test through the years. And it's God who gives the gift. And that's why it's thankful to you and can't fail. But now, the American people are taught something. They want to be Jews. I don't know why they didn't have that. They want to have hands with them. Because you've been taught that. You've been taught, that's it. And that's it. It's your faith. It's according to your faith, said the Lord Jesus, be it unto you. And I have been thinking much of this. How many have ever read the visitation of this angel last night? Have you read it in the book and heard it and never heard it in that? When he came to me, he didn't tell me to do the things that I do. He told me that I had received a gift of divine healing, and I was to be sincere when I prayed for the sick. Now, a gift of healing doesn't mean that he gives you power to heal someone. It means that he gives you faith for everything. And together, the reason a person has been prayed for has to also have that faith, or it would never work. Never would. It's individual. It's your own personal faith in a finished work. But now, I know that I was just raised in it. It was just a seventh grade education and was raised in a poor family, and I could not go and take their commission. But he said it was going to start a worldwide revival and minister in the Baptist Church, Dr. Roy Davis, who ordained me, told me I need something and I had an argument. And he said, no Bible. But he's preaching divine healing today. But however, he said, Billy, you better step over home. I think you need a rest. I said, Dr. Davis, I don't appreciate that. If that's the way it is, then you can just write my name off, or I'm going to listen to God. But in the face of all of it, it has. That's right, it's done. And the divine power is burning on every hill. Great signs and wonders throughout the nation everywhere. Many campaigns going everywhere. Now, I feel that I have tried to project a divine prophetic gift and to build the faith of the people instead of using what is called a gift of healing by laying hands on people. Now, a gift of healing is the hand minister by laying hands. But now, a prophetic gift, and he told me that was given me, that is that will make the people believe. things that I've heard since. But if you don't have the discernment to the people, they feel that they have been prayed for. So I, with God's grace, I'm trying to change this dialogue in America and have any service that preaches the Christian religion in this meeting in the United States. And then I'm having prayer. I'm praying for the people. And let, he says, if you're being sincere when you pray, let the people who believe you, nothing will stand before you there. Now that's it. Tomorrow night, if the Lord willing, we're going to have an emergency night. And that is all those who want to be prayed for, just come up in the prayer line to be prayed for. You get your prayer card tomorrow from the bar that's sitting there when you're giving out the prayer card. The emergency night. Just come down and pray for the sick. I want to see what the Lord does tomorrow night. And Sunday night, exactly the same, until we get to the place of the Lord willing, I wish to have a very big tent one of these days for the American people to set up in our own policy for a few weeks, 6 or 8 weeks at a time. For then, the people, you just get acquainted with it, and you got so easy, you see. And then, there comes an enemy along. Like on your setting right there, so they can come right to you, then it'll be different. So pray for it. And we want you to pray for it tomorrow night, the emergency night. Instead of having an emergency room, we'll have an emergency night. That's the bond. Now, let us bow to it before we open the word. Our kind and loving Father tonight is with a grateful heart that we approach thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we ask that your great power will come upon us tonight and will touch us with the heart that we will be placed at our hearts by the God's word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing of the word of God. And we pray now that you will speak to each heart and mine also, Lord, that through the word, the word of the God, and through his word, they will find faith for salvation for the soul and healing for the body. And may we live, if possible, to see the day that at the great ransom church of God will stand united together in the full revival with all our power of the resurrection operating in the earth. Oh, God, why should we be across the world in just a few hours' time? God, we pray for this type of healing. Here now, while we ask this for God's glory, ask that the Holy Spirit will take the word and place it in every heart, just for its meaning. While we ask it in the name of God, the Lord, the Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. In this blessed word of the Bible, and in the 17th chapter of St. Matthew, the Gospel, I wish to read for a portion tonight the word. And after 6 days, Jesus taken Peter, James, and John, his brothers, and brought them up into a high mountain of God. And was transfigured before them, and his face was shining as the sun, and his raiment was as bright as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make thee 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While we yet say, behold, the bride shall overshadow him. And behold, the bride out of the father said, this is my beloved son, in whom I have well pleased. Hear ye him. And they the Lord Now for a text tonight, if it should be called, and it doesn't matter in any kind of service, the word should have preeminence, which should be first, and the meaning of the soul is always first. While when a man is born again of the Spirit of God, he has immortal, eternal life which shall never perish. But when a man is healed of his body, if he is just for a limited time, the salvation of the soul is forever. He becomes a new creature in Christ when he heals of his soul. But divine healing was included in the atonement, because the new atonement was much better than the old. And the old atonement had healing. And the Bible says that it was rooted for our transgression, which is that we were healed. As if we were healed. All that is wonderful. Now, notice just the point. I want to say this before I start speaking. That the greatest need of healing tonight as the sickest body that I know in all the world is the body of the Lord Jesus, the church. Oh, it is horrible to say. It is broke up and scattered if he's the healing. May God send the Holy Spirit such a power for the whole body of Christ will be brought together, bound with love and unity. Until then, you will see things happen that you never thought of before. Jesus will come, and it will all be over. Now, God usually meets a man, and he has on many occasions, he has met with men of few, and then he meets with large numbers, and in the council of man, God has promised to meet. Now, one time he met with 500, again he met with 70, and again he met with 12, then with 3, and even with 1. No matter how small the audience is, God will meet with you and meet your needs. That's what makes God to me, because he humbles himself. What a contrast. Man gave him the lowest name that he could be given. Prince of the devil of the Elder. God gave him a name above every name that's named in earth and heaven, named the earth and heaven. Man placed him as Lord as they departed even into the grave. And God is governing the world every angel of angels ever since the time of Jesus. And so he says, I will let him look down to heaven. That's the difference what man saw in and what God saw in. So the one who was the highest becomes the lowest, that he might redeem the middle man, you and I, back to the fellowship of God. So he, in the temple of man, no matter where it is or how many, if you have a need, you'll come. He crossed the stormy sea one night, into the land of Galilee, because one maniac was calling on him and had peace. And as the maniac, the people thought they would cost him some help if they would have a revival, so they went to the evil land, and he always goes away when he's not well. So he turned back to him to his own country. On this occasion, he had made three men, Peter, James, John.
Now, these three names represent love, hope, charity. Love, John. Hope, James. I mean, and faith, open charity. And faith, of Jesus. That in the witness of these three, the Bible says, in the mouth of three witnesses, let every word be exact. And God was seeking to do something on this occasion that needed three witnesses for a decided fact. In other words, how he loves to establish his word. Now, there could be many angles, and I know that many fine scholars here tonight would be more capable of this God than I. But to really, God doesn't do anything just to be, as we would call it in the street expression, jack around. God, he considers me and every word that he utters. You get it? Yes. Every word that goes either out of the mouth of God. And may I say this is the weakest part of saying word tonight? And it might help you. When Jesus was on earth, he was at all odds with God, his body was in him, he was God, had lives in flesh in the Son. Jesus is this man a prophet. He was God. A lady said to me sometimes when she said, Mr. Brown, I would love to hear you speak. And I'll say in this letter, and if there's any option here, I don't mean to speak against any person or religion. If I were not asking that, but the lady was a Christian scholar. And he said, the only thing that you must do must stress and deity on Jesus Christ. And he said, you make him in marble divine. And that he was divine. And he said, if you be under the interpretation of me, and you will accept the Bible when it says that he was divine, I said, yes, man, if the Bible says he wasn't divine, I believe the Bible. But I want you to give me the verse and the chapter. He said, I can believe that. I said, let's be here. And she said, I'm his role to resurrect Lazarus. The Bible says, and thank God the letter chapter, that he wept. And that means weeping, he could not be divine, he had to be human. Oh, I said, lady, your iron is thinner than the broth, and I believe that I've given his soul again. You know that, wrong. I said, look, you fail to see God in Christ. I say it is true that he went and he went to the grave of Lazarus. He was a man weeping. But when he stood in front of his prayer, I was together. There was a sense of God in the back and I wrote it and there is a, in my mother's house. with many compartments. That's worse than this. But in the original, it says, in my Father's kingdom is many palaces. Now, how about it? Even down in the days of the early translators in England, when King James Version, when the translators translated the Bible for King James, in a kingdom was called a house, and he was the father of that kingdom. And that's where the translators put it to the view of the English people in that day. In my father's kingdom, this house, it was called. Now in the Old Testament, when a child was born, and this is good medicine when you take the gospel. Notice, when a child was born, automatically he became a son because he was born. A son is one begotten of. That's where the Catholic people talk about eternal sonship. How do you explain that error? How can he be eternal and say he's a son? A son has a beginning. All right. But in this case, when a son was born into a home, then he was a son because he was born. Now, many of the Pentecostals and the Baptists and Presbyterians or Nazarenes, they take that as sufficient. That settles it. But it's wrong according to the order. Now, this son being born, he was given a tutor. Oh, he does installations and so forth. A tutor or a teacher that was to teach the son. And the father, being his son, he got the very best tutor, teacher, that he could find. A man that would raise the child, not according to the basic common ethics of teaching, but to be an obedient God. Somebody that the Father had confidence in. Now here, I want you to see it. Notice what a beautiful picture that when a child is born into the kingdom of God, the Father has given us a tutor, the Holy Spirit. Not a bishop, but a Holy Spirit. Here, away. And this tutor brought word to the father how the child progressed. And so that the Holy Spirit brings to the father how his church is progressing. Oh, my. How many threads has the father the way he came up with? What children? Oh, confused. One this way, one, oh, what a disgrace it is. All separated and divided, arguing and punching and disputing over little petty differences. Unbelief. Unthankful, unholy, without even natural affection, when we should be in love with Father. Now, so as the tutor, the ranger, that was selected by the Father, oh, do you hear? The Father never selected an archbishop. The Father never selected something else or some denomination, although as good as it is. The Father selected the Holy Spirit that he offered. He is who raised us. Now watch what the tutor's position. What the tutor is to do is to guide and to teach. And he will never teach anything contrary to the school. Amen. I hope that went into the left side of the fifth ring. Notice, in the book, this is live by faith, but by every word that he is out of the mouth of God. Is it? The Holy Spirit keeps on the word. Now, that's what he teaches. Have faith in the word. Believe the word. But now, we've got away from that. We leave the church. And with all our respect, great programs are crossing the nation with all kinds of being either on television, saying that the Bible is nothing but the church. But the Bible says every man's word be a lie and mine be a truth. Whosoever shall take one thing out of this book, or all kinds of things in it, all will be taken from the book of life, says the word of God. All of us are angels, let alone bishops, archbishops, honorers, popes, or whatever it might be. There are angels from heaven, which any other word of you than this word of all heaven can preach, let him be unto you a curse. Or at least one angel. You see, from the Holy Spirit is teaching the believer the word. And the believer is driving and sinning all the word. Now, there's always been back in the early days, he would go up and would say, now I tell you, this boy, no matter how good a boy he was, how bad he was, he was still a son. Because he was born a son. But if he brought word that he wasn't a very good child, he was sedentary. He wasn't mindful of the power of business. That child never come into position to where he should be. But if your father was a good boy and was really up to all his father's business, then immediately the tutor said to the father, oh, what a fine boy. He's a lovely dad. And he's worthy. He's watching every move, following and observant of your affairs. Are we about our Father's business or Holy Spirit's step in every soul, praise and stand? Just on the word, are we spirit and cemetery and all in our little religious given and splitting hair and nothing? No wonder we say that. No. Now, but then the boy never becomes a boy, then just the boy around the place. But if he was a good boy, and if the Bible promises this the tutor, the raiser, they go to the father, and then at a certain time, teacher, I'm speaking of the placing of a child, you understand what I mean. All right, the teacher. We destinated it to the adoption of sons through Jesus Christ. All right? Notice, then the son, if he was a good boy and was very up and at it with the father's business, one day the father taking that son out into a public place and robed him in a beautiful garment and set it up before the public and had a ceremony. And he adopted his own child into his family. And now he positioned, placed his son. From then on, his name was just as good on the deck as his father's was. It was the placing of a son. And God, back in the Old Testament, in the shadow of the new to come, did the same thing by his son. He taken three witnesses and took it up on the mount, which is called Mount Transfiguration. And there appeared unto them first Moses and Elijah. First Moses and Elijah. Now, Peter got all excited. And he said, God, it's really good to be here. So I'll tell you what they do. Let's just build three tabernacles here. And we don't have forth, we'll make the tabernacle for them. And then we'll make the tabernacle for those who believe in the prophets and the Old Testament, and we'll make it all for them. And then we'll make the tabernacle for those who want to come serve you. He said, I'll make that with thee too. Jesus was transfigured before them. God placed his son, and he clothed him with the garment that glistened like the sun shining in its face. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. The Lord is God. The Lord is God. But this is my son. Hear ye him. That often said it. God raising his own son. From the law I have finished. And all the Old Testament is in there. And there's none left that Christ. And God's son saying, if the people who are born again of the Spirit of God and the two who bring message to Father, one day they call to the sky and prison it by God and positionally placed into the body of Christ as a teacher, prophet, evangelist, teacher, pastor, whatever he has been obedient. Since he's been from God, places that person. You see it? Now, then his authority comes from God. Then his message comes from God. Now we have an idea of a certain nation, but God backs up his message. When God does it, God proves it. God stands by. The Father stood by his Son in the Old Testament. The Father sent by his Son in heaven. Whatever he says, I'll do it. See? It's what you're reading him. Aren't you glad that he said you're reading him God? Moses represented the law. No man can keep the law. There's no flesh saved by the law. The law was a condemner of the people. No one can be saved in keeping the law. No work that you can do to save it. You might do one thing, join church, baptize, forward, backward, whatever you wish. That doesn't have anything to do with it. You are not saved by your work. It's by grace are you saved. That is the gift of God. No man can come to me except my Father's glory first. You said, I saw after God told you, brother, my brother. It was God speaking after you. No man can come to me except my Father brought him first. All that come to me, they are God's love gift to Christ. And you're not sure that you belong to Christ. The Father has brought you out of the life of sin and has given you to Christ, and Christ sent the Holy Spirit to tutor you and to raise you to believe it and go out of school. Amen. Now, amen, so be it. I believe it. I'm not amen in myself, but I like the word amen. What? Dang it. I'm so glad that he said that. The law can't save you. But God, I only carry him. He's the only one that has salvation. He's the only one that can give me life. He's the only one that can give me healing. He's the only one that can take all my burdens. He's the only one that can raise me up at the right day. That's the reason you're needing him. Look at trouble. The law. No man can be justified by law. Oh, no man ever did it outside of Christ. Then here, look at Elijah. What did Elijah represent? Elijah represents the justice of God. the Lamb that brought justice. He went upon the mountain and sat down. And they sent a captain of 50. And he raised those that were interfering with God's program. He said, if I see that man's God, let fire come from heaven and consume him. And there was some fire in his room. So the captain probably said to the king, said, it was just an accident, it was an act of nature. So we sent another captain. So he got another captain and another 50. And when he got up to where he was, he said, if I be the man of God, let fire come from heaven and consume them down from the fire. Oh my, who would want to stand under the justice of God? I certainly don't plead for his justice. I plead for something else, for his mercy. Don't hear his oaths anymore. Your self-righteous wrath won't stand anyhow.
Right.
Don't plead for justice because you don't even have a chance. You are born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world to be denied. You don't have a chance. So it's not justice that we plead for. But I'm so glad. And we're looking at that dark picture. And they looked and they saw Jesus only. What did he stand for? The Son of God. For everyone has a stand. The love of God, Jesus stood for. Hear me. Not a law of our creeds, our affiliations, and denominations, but the love of God. And man today is constrained by the Holy Spirit to come and love him and serve him, for he's seeking such to do that. God is looking for somebody who will stand out on the front line with love, not with our education. I'm not trying to support my fingers, but I'm trying to say that it doesn't take scholarship. It takes a surrendered heart that God can make love. You don't know the Bible tag it to the devil with us. So what good does it do you if someone says, I don't know this, brother Brennan, you pick up your teacher this way, I get there, I may not know the word for word, but I know how to read the word. Not the wrong word, right, but the wrong hymn is not. The Lord Christ is life. Not even a personal experience, but one opens up to you, a look to you. My wife, the Bible is a love letter. My wife writes me, I love my wife. And she writes me a love letter. And she says, there I am, sitting on the children I'm so. And I don't know if she comes on the paper, but I love her and she loves me, and it's just a connection I can do between them. I know what she's saying. Well, it's a love affair. In her words, she is projecting to me, but in the word known her for that, we love each other so we can reach between the lines. Oh, I am so happy that Christ said, Father, I thank you that thou hast sent from the seminary. And as we see it today, some of us would learn. That was learned from the mother, from the word. It's a love letter. You read between the lines. There's where you find. It's not a law, not a sound of a serpent, but the love of a kind heavenly Father who loves. When I leave home, my house, thank God for it, in the order of the Lord's work, I trust. And if I leave home to go over to these, this and do that, then as I give up all of her law, then she said, just a minute, my young fellow. Thou shalt not have any other wife on your own. Thou shalt not take any other woman out of heaven. That is it. We don't even think of such a thing. When I get ready to leave, he was the mother of my three children. We just kneel down in the room. And we put our arms around each other. And I said to her, sweetheart, I am so happy to have a wife like you. And she said, I am so happy to be married to the servant of the Lord. I said, I'm going to be lonesome, honey. Oh, I'm not. But I'll be praying for you. She said, I'll be praying for you, honey, that God will use you to win souls. Is that helpful? Then we offer our prayers to God to bless us and watch us over while we are separated one from another. And I get up, kiss her goodbye, go out the door, and say, Jerry, I'm going to come back. I'm not scared she's going to come back. She's not scared of me from taking out any other woman. As long as we love one another like that, we will be a true to each other. And as long as you love the Lord Jesus, you'll do what He wants you to do and you bless Him to hide. It's love that the world is looking for. So I speak with tongues of men and angels, said Paul. I have become as a son of bread and a beast and civil. So I have power to do miracles to move the mountains. Though you can do all these things and have not love, I am nothing. Don't judge a man because he can pray for their faith for the sick, and they get well. Don't judge a man because he might do some supernatural miracle as being a sainted person. But the only way that you can judge is by the love that they have for God and for each other. And do you see what the Holy Spirit has to bring to the Father? That we're all separated and no love to each other? So what they want to see is this way of love. Here some time ago, as you know, I am a hunter. And I love the wilderness.
Benjamin and Reuben, the first
first and the last. He that was, which is, and shall come, root most present day in the morning star. And as I looked at that, my emotions become to a place where I could not hold them any longer. I screamed to the top of my voice. I had to get this. And I suppose that someone would have been in the woods that thought there was a maniac there. Or someone from the insane institution around and around the tree I went screaming to the top of my voice. Well, I was feeling that way. I was worshiping God. And as I was worshiping the Lord around and around the tree, all of a sudden a little tide worked. Oh, the noisiest thing you ever heard. He jumped up on the stump and he looked up towards me and began tank. I thought, did I excite you, little fellow? Well, I thought you ought to worship God with me. You are a creature of God. Why don't you worship with me? And I said, oh, don't be lonely. Around the tree, I'm going to take care. I was worshiping God. Oh, my heart was running over. Not to make